You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show following the news at 10. Thanks to Michaela for that. And thank you for all of your comments coming in over the first hour. As it relates to the future of St. Joseph's Hospital, a caller says, I'm not convinced of the safety of St. Joseph's going forward. I'm not sure if you mean the safety sort of accessing services within it or its future. Greg, I'm not sure if I believe the HSC. I'd be very wary of their promises, as would I, and that's why we'll keep a close eye on that. They moved physio, which was located in the middle of Drogheda Ward, but kept staff changing wards and admin offices on either side. They stayed put. Thank you very much for that. Loads of comments as it relates to, they were carried over some of these, as it relates to sort of the change really in Fine Gael leadership and Taoiseach, and generally on politics. Is AIM2 the party that was formed after a certain TD didn't agree with the result of repeal referendum? So much for democracy, says a listener. Another, the government didn't care about the lack of services before refugees arrived. Why do you think they would care now? They couldn't care less. Another, how long will Simon Harris last as Taoiseach? The Minister for Health, who thought there were 18 COVID viruses before COVID-19, can't see him lasting too long. Is that why he thought it was 19? I actually missed that one. Simon Harris is weak. We don't want anyone who's weak. When he was low in government, he was very pro-life. As soon as he went up and everyone else supported abortion, he did too. If he had been pro-abortion all along, we wouldn't have minded, but he changed his mind. And that is what others were doing. We don't want someone who goes with the crowd. With Leo stepping down from the Dáil, am I not right in thinking under Irish law, constitution, that the government has to dissolve? No, unfortunately, I don't really care whether it dissolves or not. That is not the case. Greg Varadkar has the country destroyed with mass immigration, believes a listener. Good riddance to Leo Varadkar, showed no sympathy towards Mica homeowners, a complete failure. How can young people come back here? Where would they live? That's the difference now. Simon Harris, the Minister of Higher Education, that is no higher education. A lot of people didn't like last week when it was pointed out that he didn't have higher education. Even those that might not be Harris supporters were like, well, that shouldn't be the case. Glad to see the back of Leo Varadkar. He destroyed the country with his liberal crusade. Never a person for the ordinary family. Joe McHugh's delusional defending him, making pathetic excuses. He was obviously told to go on his arrival home. Call a general election now. It's what the people want up here in Donegal. We do not want the city slicker Harris or Donoghue. Enough is enough. Well, now it is Harris, and as I say, nothing about that whole process surprised me. As a carer and parent, it would be better to come up with a plan to prevent all the people, unfortunately, that assist their own death, which has risen out of control. Can you say the national debt owing collectively is $233 billion? Leo says he's taken the country from austerity to prosperity. The man has rocks on his head. We went from $206 billion to $233 billion relatively recently, and it's now $48,000 national debt per every man, woman, and child in the country. I hear a lot of people say that we have full employment. Really, if all the young had to move away to get jobs to build their own homes, were still here, then numbers would be much different. That's complex, and complex as to the reason why, and also too because of wages and what have you, and housing availability. Having a job simply nowadays does not mean that you can build your own home. Back in the day, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, even when interest rates were like 15%, you could see a pathway to owning your own or building your own property. I think the problem is a lot of people, even in full employment, don't see that pathway. Simon Harris, the National Children's Hospital, need we say more? Another, we need change in this country. People can't go on much longer. Another caller says, time for an election. Irish people have changed their minds. Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar resigned, saying, I'm not right for the job now. Fianna Fáil, Greens, Fine Gael, not right for the job now either, believes that listener. Another, I like Simon Harris for the job, but it should really be the decision of the public to choose who they want in charge. I can't believe how Hyland is fawning over Leo. What did he ever do for Donegal? There should be a general election. Well, I certainly haven't been involved in any fawning. I've never fawned over a politician yet, so I'm not sure what part of our coverage you see is fawning. Why, another caller says, why is Pat and Leo on the back having all these Fine Gaelers on blowing bubbles? Well, at the end of the day, everyone has a right to speak. Just because you disagree with in politics, and this is probably what problem we have in this country right now, if I disagree with a group of individuals or disagree with a person, I don't want them I don't want them censored or not spoken to. I mean, I would imagine, like, it's quite possible that the person who says, why are you patting Leo on the back having all these Fine Gaelers on, is probably, might be a person who is opposed to the new hate speech laws, which is really some feel about censorship and controlling the narrative. I mean, you don't seriously would think that on one hand and then sort of suggest that we shouldn't hear from an established political party who's changed its leader on the other, I'm sure. Greg, I think you'll find that the media also make a big deal that Leo was gay and of Indian origin, so people will jump on that. But just talking about that doesn't mean he should be open to criticism for those two things, surely. As health minister, he wasn't much good, had a chance to improve, but lost the plot. That comes in from Mary. Just time for a couple more. Sinn Féin is desperate for an election now because they know that all the new independents and parties may not be fully organised or registered, not as well known. That is the main reason for their push. Thankfully, they showed their hand during the two referendums by siding with the government, and people realise they are not the answer to what the Irish people need. Okay, right, that's a catch-up on some of those. 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts to that number, of course. Give us a call on 07491 25,000. The Easter egg has been found, by the way. Caroline, do you have that information about the egg? Did I take that or you're handing it to me? There's a competition running on the Naughty Alarm Clock show with Lee Gooch. The egg was at Sean McCool's Park. Well done. And I heard, we were talking about the new sign there on Friday, and I heard the sign is resplendent. We had it. What did you think? We're going to be talking GEA more generally with Brendan Devaney, and I've kept my powder dry in this one a wee bit, in terms of the national coverage of the Donegal senior football team, the men's senior football team I'm talking about now, because I don't want to sort of come across as anti-RT or anti this, that and the other all the time. But, like, what have you thought of the national coverage of Donegal this year? I mean, I don't watch the Sunday game, but I was speaking to people who have watched the Sunday game that watched it to see how Donegal got on certain games. Not even highlights, barely even a mention. There is also some suggestion that and this was talked about at the game on Saturday, that, you know, there are some RG presenters that don't even like talking about Donegal. So again, I know sometimes it might come across that we're moaners up here, but I think most of the time if we are moaning, there's justification to it. So, I mean, obviously you can understand certain games aren't going to be broadcast, right? Because maybe they're dead rubbers or, you know, there's a lot of games to be covered and so on and so forth. But do you think Donegal so far got a fair crack of the whip in terms of its coverage? Not a lot of the games, but they were sort of online, or were pay-per-view, and others, there were no highlights from them at all. So as a football fan, and as I say, we can put this to Brendan a little later on, as a football fan, do you think there's a sort of an anti-Donegal sentiment with the national broadcaster? What do you think? Let us know. I'm not trying to stir, but I can only try and reflect the conversations people are having out there, and a lot of people have said to me that they feel that Donegal's not getting a fair crack of the whip. Right, sorry, Sean McCool Park, that's where the egg was. Lena O'Reilly and Raymond Doherty found the egg. It's all part of this Easter week. It's the iMotors Easter egg hunt. It's on Lee Gooch's Naughty Alarm Clock. So there's a car going around the place. It's going to be somewhere else tomorrow. So tune in to Lee Gucci's show after 8 a.m. and you could be in with a chance to win that egg, but also of winning a €500 Ryanair voucher. Anyway, Lee Gooch will tell you more about that tomorrow. He's a good egg. Now, you're very welcome back to the programme, and we're talking Relay for Life. And we've got two guests in studio to talk about this year's event. We have Seamus Devine, Chair of Relay for Life Donegal. Good morning, Seamus.
Morning, Greg. Thank you for having us.
And Magella O'Donnell, who is the patron of Relay for Life Donegal. Magella, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having us.
Right, so Relay for Life is back. It's at the ATU in Letterkenny this year, the 25th of May 2024, Seamus.
Yeah, it's 25th and 26th. We're starting an hour earlier this year. We're starting at 4. Last year was 5, so we're running from 4 to 4. And we've an unbelievable uplift this year. Teams are absolutely flying. Thanks to your good sales, we're getting great coverage. we're probably up about six or seven already on this time last year, so we're getting near capacity.
Can we talk like this is the first time it's ever happened, if you know what I mean? So, Relay for Life, it's down at the ATU. It's a beautiful, it's just a beautiful setting, and we were there last year, and it was just absolutely wonderful. So, the concept behind Relay for Life.
Relay for Life is it's a worldwide event. It originally in America, and the Irish Cancer Society, it's a cancer society event. The Irish Cancer Society have taken it on board. We've been running it since 2012 here in Donegal. It's basically a 24-hour event where everyone who has been affected in any way by cancer or who's an interest in research in cancer comes together for the weekend. The key focus on the weekend is about survivors and survivorship. The survivors are our heroes, shall we say, for the weekend. And part of the reason we're here today is actually to talk about a survivor programme. Mm-hmm. It opens with what we call the survivor's lap. It opens the first thing into survivors. They march around the pitch. They take us around the pitch and open the event for us. Now, there's a number of different events that are happening during it. But the biggest part is that there's teams that take part in it. The word really is used because they're passing it on people are walking on the track for the full 24 hours. Unfortunately, a lot of people take the idea that it's running. It's not running. It's walking. If you want to run,
you get a speeding ticket if you run. I think.
Well, if you want to run, we'll let you. But we might corral you onto a different track.
And I just like this is for all of the community, and the reason it's for all of the community is because one in two of us will get cancer, and every single one of us, unfortunately, will have someone in our lives with cancer.
Yeah.
So. And also, it is a beautiful thing to be a part of. There's lots of murmurs and chat and conversation. There's music, there's stalls, there's people on bikes doing spin-a-thons and different things like that there. So even if it's not specifically to attend for the reasons that you've outlined, the more people that go to it as a beautiful community event in and of itself, I think... It would be fantastic. And I think I just want the broader public to see that this is absolutely for everyone, and it is for all of us, because very sadly this horrendous disease affects all of us either directly or indirectly.
Yeah, that's 100% true, Greg. We try to make it a fun event. We try to make it lighthearted. Obviously there are parts of it that are somber and one thing or another, but yeah, there's music on stage. We have an absolutely amazing candle ceremony at night where the music is toned down, and Maya Brenning is again going to be part with us again this year at it. But yeah, the people's faces, we have a team of superheroes who dress up as Superman and Batman, and we have Toy Story characters coming, and we have all sorts of events from milking cows to gathering potatoes. Mm-hmm. There's so much fun and activity at it.
Yeah. And there's loads of parking as well. I'll come back to you, Seamus, because we'll go through, we'll put a final call out there, not a final call, but a team for in relation to creating a team and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But Magello O'Donnell, patron of Relay for Life, Donegal. I mean, frame this sort of whole couple of days for us, Magello, in your mind?
Well, firstly, may I say that I've just been promoted to patron. Daniel actually is the patron of Donegal Relay for Life, but now I am a co-patron. So we're in it together. It's a fantastic weekend. I mean, it's 2 days, really. And the fact that everybody comes together, there's a fantastic, positive, friendly atmosphere on the pitch. I didn't do it the first time. And last year was the first time that I actually took a stand. I had a team, if you like. So I did fundraising and everything. And the day, it was just fantastic because the pitch is full of people buzzing. And as you rightly said a second ago, all the activities and things for people to do. It's a real family event, and there's, you know, music, live music. You know, rumour has it that Daniel O'Donnell may even do, you know, a few songs.
This is coming from a very reliable source close to Mr. O'Donnell.
Well, I tell you what, it's not that reliable. Sometimes I don't know what he's doing. I'm sure he will. Yeah. So, you know, it's not just about coming and being somber and serious and discussing. It's a family event for
everybody.
There's
a togetherness to it, which, this is the thing I'm trying to portray. Not that it needs me to try and portray, but I just think it's a very nice thing. It would be a very nice thing for all families to come together. Everybody sort of deals with this disease in a different way, right? Whether you've had it or you've lost someone to it. You can be angry at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. Or whatever it might be, and everyone comes to it at a different point. But it's not about that. This is about humanity as well, too.
Absolutely.
And us as a community, Magella.
Yep, it is, absolutely. And I know myself, some people, it's not for them.
Mm.
They feel like, oh, I have cancer, or I had cancer, and the last thing I want right now. But funnily enough, a year or two passes, and when that sort of the big trauma has eased off a bit, then they tend to come back and want to be part of it. It's just something, as you said, one in two people are going to have a cancer diagnosis in their lives. We should all, I believe, be out there supporting it. It's, you know, it respects no boundaries when it comes to people. We know, you know, King Charles, Princess Kate, both have cancer. It's just so prevalent in society at the moment. And the more people we can get to come out, and especially survivors, because they're the ones that show you how successful research is becoming. Mm-hmm. And when you see a field, for people that don't ever go there, there are different T-shirts, different groups and different colours. And the survivors, cancer survivors, wear purple T-shirts, and it says, "I am a cancer survivor." And then the committee wear an orange T-shirt.
We've gone green.
Oh, gone green. Gone green. Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Good for the planet.
Yeah.
Anyway, but when you see a field full of purple T-shirts, and you know, and you're walking around with everybody, and you're saying, "God, I had cancer. God, look at that little girl.
Yeah.
She's only 10. She had cancer. Or look at that woman over there. Or there's two sisters." Mm. Or, you know, and it's a real camaraderie. It's a brilliant atmosphere altogether, a positive one.
Yeah, because, you know, if cancer didn't exist, and then there was a worldwide announcement saying this disease has been foisted upon us, and one in two of us will get it, and it will affect children. And you know, we would react very, very differently.
Oh,
you know, I'm not saying we're complacent. I don't know, we're accepting or whatever. But you know, can you imagine if it was announced on us how we would?
And that's what we're hoping for eventually.
Yeah, that it's,
you
that,
know,
that we
a cure.
And
for
we
it.
Are making great inroads in that. And these type of events do help in that regard too. You know, treatment is hugely important, but research
absolutely.
Is
absolutely. I wouldn't
at.
Be here, Greg.
Yeah, we do amazing
years
things
back.
In
I
terms
would not.
Of research here.
Yeah.
And we were speaking last week or the week before to a lady who got cancer and then discovered she was pregnant. And the only way you can know what you can do in terms of cancer treatment during pregnancy is through, you know, previous experience and
exactly.
research.
Yeah.
You know, and she referenced that herself. Right. So in terms of the teams now. I don't sure if you can be oversubscribed, Seamus, but there are still you can still put a team together. So how does that work?
You can.
And I'm talking to people across the entire region here, not in a 10-mile radius of Letterkenny. We want people from, if you're in Bundoran listening, Ballyshannon, Lahey, Pettigoe, right across the coast.
Yeah.
This is for everybody. Yeah. It just happens to be in the centre of Donegal.
Yeah. It's not Letterkenny really. It's Donegal really, and that's something we'll be very, very keen to promote. Basically, a group of individuals come together. You're really looking to man the event for the weekend. You're probably looking at least 10 people involved. And the idea is that someone of your team will be available to be on the pitch at all stages throughout the 24 hours. What we're finding is that people do at a rota, people come for an hour and they stay for 6 hours because the atmosphere is incredible. The team is, as Miguel said, the teams wear the white T-shirts. They do some activities at their tent. Every team has their own gazebo. They have their own space on the pitch, and it becomes a focal point. Some are making teas, some are making coffees, some make pizzas in the middle of the night, which is shouldn't be done, but it's amazing. But different things are happening. We have
I'm
had
to figure out why you shouldn't make pizzas in the middle.
I know,
but anyway, can we we'll forget about that?
Yeah, health and safety mightn't just allow that.
Just
but anyway, we get
it's
there.
It's a microwave. They microwave
well,
pizza. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Cold pizza,
I'll not mention
that
to the college.
If we ban that altogether, I'm jacking it all in.
Yeah.
If we get to that point, I'm jacking the whole lot, and I'm just going to move to an island somewhere.
I'll let us trade a secret out. Anne Marie makes pizzas at 3 in the morning.
Good. Okay, good. Anne-Marie. So just, and I will fight to the death to give so you have the right to do so.
But basically then they come together and look, being honest about it, research can't exist without money. And the Irish Kidney Cancer Society gets 5% of their funding from the government. The rest comes from items like Daffodil Day, Pink Ribbon, whatever, all their different events, and really is becoming one of their flagship events. So teams will raise money pre the event, they'll raise some money at the event through their different stalls and one thing or another. But there's no fixed, you must raise this or you must raise that or you must do the other. No, it's up to everybody's generosity mm-hmm. to do the best that they can.
And can I just say as well, it's just, you know, when you talk about a group of 10, it could just be 10 friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Out for the crack. Yeah. And you have the gazebo, you bring up a thing that you're sheltered in. You know, people bring sleeping bags and, you know, sleep under there.
If it
there.
Comes down to the gazebo, I'm sure we can rustle up a gazebo.
Yeah.
We'll not worry about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And
there's
if you
not
can't,
much asked
if you, exactly. And if you can't enter a team or you don't want to, support a team.
Exactly.
The website is there. I mean, you can find a team on the website, the Reef Life Donegal website. There's a button to click. If you can't get your own team, join a team. Teams are always looking for it.
Yeah.
So as I say, fundraising, I suppose, has started. I've been at a couple of events already, and that'll continue all the way up until the event. But the focus then on the event is that the team then promotes themselves during the event. After the survivor's lap, there's a carer's lap, and carers are extremely important. Then there's the team lap, and the teams have their own banner, and all the group has much come together, and they walk around the pitch and they get introduced. And the friendship that they make. Now, we have this year so far, about a third of the teams are new teams. Two-thirds of the teams are returning teams. And already I'm getting requests, where are you putting us this year? We want to be beside such and such a teams because we had great crack last year. Again, top secret, the Donegal Firefighters Association have a team in this year, and the amount of requests I'm getting from teams to be sitting next to them. Don't know why they want to be
maybe
there.
Maybe it's the pizzas.
No. that's good. They can put out the fire. If there's a fire, we can put out the fire. As I say, the other group that... Again, it's a big attraction is the Donald's involved, as you probably know, in the ukulele orchestra.
Of course, yeah.
They have a team in it, and the crack that they have at 2 a.m, they're out on the pitch as people are walking past, they're playing music, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's something else.
It's just something else, yeah.
Buy a candle bag,
yeah.
What's this about?
The luminaria, that's the candle bag or luminaria service, it takes place at about 10:20 on the Saturday night. Music goes down, the mood goes down. We have a wonderful ceremony, again, led by Donal. Donal is amazing at that. Moya Brennan is playing at it. Candle bags are bought, purchased in memory of someone that you're thinking of who may no longer be with us or who's undergoing a treatment or is, thank God, out the other side. Somebody is away, someone you can't... But the candles are placed in an oval shape all around the pitch. And it's an amazing sight to see almost 5,000 candle bags lit and put up. It's a tremendous effort.
Did you ever see that?
Bird? I did, yeah.
It is eerie. It's
and I think, again, because we're all so individual, it can be sort of like a celebration of someone's life, or it can be... It's up to the individual. It's so subjective, isn't it?
It is.
And you can see it in different ways in different years.
Yeah.
You know, if you're feeling up, or if you're feeling...
It brings you... Exactly. Yeah. But it's quite
Which
powerful.
Is fine. People should not be afraid of those emotions.
Correct.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's right to remember people who are no longer with us.
Yeah.
Look, I lost my own dad in 1986, and if cancer treatment research had been there, he'd still be alive since 86, but he wouldn't have gone. He wouldn't have gone.
You had longer with him.
You would have much longer with him. So the candle bags are a really important part. We'll be selling those on you'll be seeing pop-up shops throughout the county in the next... They'll be starting, I think, next mm-hmm. week, and they'll be going on all the way through to the event. You can also get your candle bag online, or you can get your candle bag at the event itself.
This is not a closed shop or a group or a team or a membership. This is for absolutely everybody listening to this programme right across the community. We broadcast from there as well. There's brilliant, and it's a mixture of music. You can have sort of like a trad, brass, Callum Keaveney, Daniel O'Donnell perhaps on stage. It's just a big old mixed bag of whatever. Just drift in and drift out.
And can I just say something as well, Greg?
Anything you want to, Michella.
Thank you, dear. People, you know, I've been out there some years and the weather is like really bad and it's raining, you know. And the numbers aren't great. It's the weather, it's terrible, it's a shame. I was there another year and the sun was splitting in the rocks. Oh, it's a shame the weather's Football's like this because they're all off the beach.
Yeah, yeah,
or the
exactly,
do you know, I mean, one day a year, give it up. Give it up for for your fellow, you know, people.
I would love to see record numbers this year because, well, again, parking is really, really good there. There's a ton of parking there.
Greg, just on that point on numbers, one of my goals, I've taken over, as you know, from chairman from Robert this year, one of my goals is to increase the number of survivors taking part at Relay this year. And as part of that process, we're actually going out to the community. You already said in the introduction, this is not Letterkenny Relay. We're setting up meetings in four different areas. We're going to Buncrana, we're going to Donegal Town, we're going to Bunbeg, and we're holding one in Balbuffet. So those meetings are going to be coming up in the month of April, and we're going to be promoting those. My aim is to go out to those regions and invite survivors to come along to our let's call it a workshop, and to let the survivors know what we're doing at Relay for Life. And if my intention is if I can get 20 extra survivors from each of the four regions, that'll put another 80 to 100 people on the pitch. And that to me, survivors are the most important part of why we're doing this.
It's on the 25th, 26th of May, 2024. So, you know, organise it now. If there's someone who doesn't have a car close to you or whatever, say, look, do you want to head over there on that day? I'll drive us down. They can get to experience it as well. It's all part of the thing. Magella, you know, obviously, you did amazing with your diagnosis and the early part of your treatment and what have you. You know, you put a face to it. People could relate to you, and it did an awful lot of good in that regard. How important is it, do you think? And you mentioned Charles and Kate, and I think particularly Kate, because you wouldn't imagine, you know, 40-year-old.
What is she, 42,
You know. I'm not saying beautiful people don't get cancer. Don't get me wrong, but it's you don't see it that often. Mm-hmm. Not saying it doesn't happen that often, but you don't see it. How important is it? Maybe more for the British public, but I think certainly for the Irish public as well. That you know, people see other people that are famous or well known or what have you. You know, it relatable or something. We do see an uptick in GP visits and contacts and stuff, don't we?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think when you see somebody in like Kate's position or whatever, or a celebrity, myself, you kind of think, you know, well, they can have the best of everything. They can have the best doctors. They can have the best, you know, screening and all that kind of thing. But when you see somebody like Kate that's got it, you realise that, you know, cancer is, as I said, it's not choosy about.
Yeah.
And it's important, I think, well, I mean, going on another thing altogether, the whole thing with Kate, you know, the conspiracies because she didn't say what was happening. So, you know, the fact that she came out and said it, it's like, oh, Christ, okay, that's what that is, and what a shame. And like I say, 42 years of age, you just never know when that...
We're going to do, just off the back of that, me and Caroline, we've just had a pre-production meeting, and we're going to do something about how you tell children. How you communicated. I know there's great advice out there from, but I just think it might be a useful conversation for us to have on the radio as to, because the reason she says she kept it as quiet as she did is because she had to get her children,
get
all that processed.
Absolutely.
So we shouldn't forget, we don't own these people. And I'm not talking about the royals.
No,
I'm on about every people who are in every family. Yeah. Exactly.
Sure.
Right, okay, so the big date, the 25th, 26th of May, 2024. No,
and it's
excuses.
Just 24 hours.
Yeah,
4 p.m.
Exactly.
to 4 p.m.
And no excuses, whether it's
no
too
excuses.
Wet or too hot.
I say that like
crowd.
When you're lying in bed sick with chemotherapy or whatever, what you wouldn't give to go out in the rain and walk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to feel normal enough to be able to go outside. So don't let weather be a reason for not coming, whether it's good, bad or indifferent. Mm. Please come. We're all going to be there. It'll be a great day.
Yeah, Seamus, it's obvious that, you know, you want to reach as much as you can.
I
hope it all pays dividends. Use us.
Thank you.
Like your favourite rag. if you need any further assistance.
Yeah. No, we're really, really
but
appreciate
this is only the start of it, really. I mean, it's a big, it's a couple of months to go.
Yeah.
So there's a no excuse not to make arrangements now and organise a bus or gather up a team if you're in Carrigan's or Carrigart or Pettigo or wherever it is. Get a team together and come along and share the experience.
That's it. Absolutely.
Anything you want to add, Seamus, or
Magella? Just one little things on the survivorship. having met so many now over the last number of years, one of the things that's really strikes me as a committee person is when a survivor comes up to you and says thanks for doing this for us. Like, they have met complete random strangers who are going through the same thing as themselves. They sat down with them for a cup of tea or cup of coffee in the canteen for 10, 15 minutes, and they know they're not alone. They know there's people out there that has gone through the exact same as they're going through. Random strangers that they're able to talk to. It's not easy always talking to your own family. It's not easy talking to the doctors or the nurses. You don't get a feeling for it. And to hear a survivor coming up and giving you a hug and saying, thank you for doing this for us, it makes it special.
Yeah. And if I had called my sister or mom a survivor, I'd have got a kick in the ghoulies.
Yeah.
So that's not a word for everyone, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't attend.
Yeah,
correct. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You can just go in and... Yeah. I know the majority do, but it's not for everyone.
It's not for everyone.
It's not, as I say, having been someone who's there, you just need to go and you'll understand what we're talking about. Right, Seamus Devine, Chair of Relay for Life Donegal. The best of luck with everything that you're all trying to do,
Greg.
And carrying on the superb work from those that went before you, and bringing your ideas to it as well. Magella O'Donnell, the newly appointed co-patron of Relay for Life Donegal. It'll be elbows at dawn between you and Daniel over the 24 hours. Okay, listen,
thank you so much, Paul, for
giving us so much of your time.
See you all on the 25th of May.
Yes, and Magella's not taking any excuses. Just beyond the guard there. Right, back shortly. Patricia, involved with Relay for 12 years. We walked through rain, sun, and still had a smile on our faces at the end of this wonderful event. Me and my two sisters had cancer in the past 3 years. My thyroid, my older sister, lung, and my young sister, who's 45, has ovarian cancer that spread to her brain. I'm so sorry, so sorry to hear what you're going through. And I wish you all the very, very best. What an awful blow for all of you. Very sad to hear that. Last night, RTE showed the games where there was something at stake. The Armagh game and the Donegal game, plus the Monaghan Division 1, were not shown. The idea that RTE is something against Donegal is ridiculous. Anyway, I'm sure Jim would like to stay under the radar. That comes from James. As I say, James, I'm only just kind of... reflecting what I hear out and about. Morning, Greg. Just after hearing on Highland, the average house price in Donegal is 162,000. If this is true, why is it taking 425,000 to replace our Micah homes? Well, you see, it's three bed semis apparently are going for 162,000 here. If there's any, that's the average price apparently across the whole county. So that could be out in the Sticks, it could be in the heart of Letterkenny, but on average, 162,000 for a three bed semi. Sounds low to me. Like, are those houses actually out there? Let me know. Any reason why I couldn't pay cash to get into the Donegal game yesterday, Greg? Me and my family went to it and weren't allowed in. The five of us had to go home again. Ridiculous. It wasn't even close to being sold out either. That comes from Noel. Well, they don't, as a rule, take cash on the turnstiles, Noel. And we were told by the Mary Coughlin, who's the head of the GAA in this county, that that was down to governance and what have you. They did have, for one of the games, was it the last game, they did have one cash stall, did they, I think? I don't know. Very disappointing for you. Did you just leave or what's the crack? BBC Northern Ireland always covers Donegal in GAA sports news. RTE never. Same as Finn Harps Soccer Club. That's a fact. That caller believes they're both GAA. Donegal GEA and Finn Harps not getting the coverage. Why did Micheál Martin not move back to Taoiseach? They were sharing the job before. Well, it's not the individuals that share the job. It is the parties. So it's Fine Gael's turn. And if they lose their leader, then it is Fine Gael's turn, really effectively. So that's why. Why does nobody mention the fact that under the Lisbon Treaty, Ireland and Denmark have an out clause regarding asylum seekers? We are under no EU obligation to take these asylum seekers into Ireland. Why are we being lied to? That's a conversation we've had very regularly on this programme, the most recent on Friday, I believe. Personally, I have my apprehensions of Simon Harris as Taoiseach, as he was health minister when the abortion referendum was passed. I strongly disagree with abortion, they say. Thank you to the kind soul who handed in my phone in Asda. I left my phone in a trolley in Asda, and someone has handed it in. The phone had all my cards and everything in it, so thanks so much. Good news. That's good news. But I don't get why people get those little envelopes not little envelopes, but the little folder phones, the covers, and they have their entire life contained within that space. But look, anyway, good that you got it back. Morning, Greg. It's very unfortunate for people renting a home to be asked to leave because the landlord wants to sell the property, but it's most definitely not the problem with the landlord. There's an election coming up, so I hope people remember what government caused this problem. Thank you. If you patch up the cracks in your defective home, are you put on the bottom of the list again for repair? Well, I don't know what the story is there. Someone out there might know. I presume I would have guessed, and maybe I shouldn't, that the engineer's report is what dictates the process, right? So if you get the engineer's report and then you get testing done and it shows what level of mica is there and what have you, cosmetically blocking the cracks so that your house is, you know, maybe you're not reminded all the time of exactly what's going on, surely that shouldn't trump the core sampling or an engineer's report. But I don't know. It shouldn't. But someone out there will know what the situation is and will let us know, I'm sure. Please, 086 60 25000.